Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
This guy right here, Herb Howard, he is the absolute truth.
What's that, Herb? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I got it.
Our brother, Herb Howard, Bears beat reporter for the Bigs. He's in the building.
Herb Howard, always a great football press conference question asker.
Herb Howard and all the guys from the Bigs, and they're looking at me. They're shaking their heads at me.
I was going to ask you, have you played receiver? Y'all are laughing. He's the only one not laughing.
And you hear that baritone in the press conferences. You know that a good question is coming.
Yeah, that's a great point, Herb. I will say that. You hit it right on the head there.
From the Bigs, Herb Howard is in the house.
I wish I looked as comfortable as
this. I know, man. I need some chunkles.
Very nice look.
So very man, casual. Let me tell you what happened. This is probably about 2 years ago. Lou invites me to do some pregame work at Soldier Field with him. I come, I'm dressed, I feel like I feel really, really good. I got one like mauve pink color suit. It's tailored, it fits good. I look amazing, if I do say so myself. We do the hit, hit's over. Lou goes, if you ever outdress me again on my own show, I'll never invite you back.
I don't think you would do that because I don't think that you would ever admit to being overdressed or outdressed.
It was off camera, so from now on, I'm always going to underdress anytime I'm with Luke.
By the way, I remember that day you did look really good.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Man, Herb Howard is just one of the stars, man. Like, you talk about the next generation of stars in what it is that we do. This guy is all about it. And to further the legend of Herb Howard Speaks, I want you to know that Jay Iller, who is the Bears DJ, he threw a set, the Get Busy set, over at Promontory in Hyde Park. Afternoon party, grown folks type stuff. Perfect for people that want to go get their dance on and listen to some good music and then go to the crib. So I go because I want to support. I want to represent. It's right down the street from my house, too. Like, that makes it easy. So I roll up in there. It's late summer, early fall. So I'm rocking shorts. I don't care. I'm an old man, right? I walk in, and the first person I see is Herb Howard in a full tuxedo. Full tuxedo. And so now, like, my nickname for him is the Wolf, because it's just like what happened in Pulp Fiction, where the Wolf is at a daytime party in the morning when he gets the call from Jules in a full tuxedo. And I was like, look at this dude right here in a full tuxedo, man. In the daytime. I love it.
Hey, that's hilarious, man. I told you I was on my way to the Young Jeezy concert, and he was doing the 20th anniversary of TM101 with the full symphony orchestra. So it was appropriate for where I was going, not so much for where we were at the time, but I was pregaming at the day party. I had to go see Jay Iller.
So there you go. I mean, nobody knew where the Wolf was coming from. That's the thing about that scene in Pulp Fiction. Nobody had any idea. So Lars didn't know when he saw you. It was just striking. That's
it was great to see, man. We had a time too. It was a good time there.
Nah, we had a real good time. We cut a rug a little bit, and it was a good time. Jay will always sets the vibes right.
Herb, I don't think we've ever talked on the radio. I don't think so.
We have not. I am honored. It is an honor and a pleasure to be on with you, man. I've appreciated your work for a very long time, so I'm glad to be on while you are here. Usually they don't invite me when you're here.
I don't know what that's about. You know? I'll talk to my people and figure out what the hell's going on. It was never my choice. Let me say that for the record.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I was wondering.
Herb, you're outstanding, man. Thanks for joining us here on The Score. So, look, let's get right to the matter at hand. Really, the biggest matter at hand, I think, is it's gone even beyond the Caleb and Ben combination. The Bears are 7-3. This is real enough to be taken seriously by the entire NFL, isn't it?
It's definitely real enough to be taken seriously by the entire NFL. The Bears are first place atop the NFC North, and hopefully they never give it back. But it's a bit of a conundrum because we still don't really know if they are who we hope they are, right? Because the schedule just hasn't provided them an opportunity to play other teams that have winning records or other teams that are vying for playoff position. And so now that part of the schedule is coming up, and we're going to find out, you know, how well equipped the Bears are to deal with the tougher part of their schedule.
So let's go to the second part. How do you feel like the Ben Johnson-Caleb Williams pairing is working, and what are your concerns, if any, at this point?
I think it's working well in the sense that, you know, Ben Johnson is going to be transparent not only with him, but he's transparent in public. And I think that Caleb is one, he's able to handle that. I think he's always been able to handle that aspect of his job in terms of how he deals with the media and, you know, everything that's swirling around his play. So I think that that part of it works well. He's able to, you know, critique Caleb, and Caleb seems to be learning from that, right? It's still going to be a work in progress. You're still talking about a second year quarterback who's learning, you know, a brand new system again with a brand new coach again. So I think there's still some growing pains that we certainly are seeing. And that's what kind of leaves stuff to be desired when you say, why can't he take advantage of some of these opportunities early so these games don't come down to these late game heroics? And I think once they get to that level, I think, you know, that's when you'll see Caleb really start to hit his ceiling. But I think that Coach Johnson is going to continue to keep the standard at a very, very high level. And I think Caleb is willing to put the work in to try and meet that standard.
To go back to what Speaks was talking about at the beginning of this, when you look at this team and being up there every day, talking to people every day, what do you think is real about them? And what are the things that you are actually concerned about?
Yeah, I think the takeaways, I think that's a real thing. And I think it starts with D.A., Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator, and I think it extends to Coach Harris, their DB's coach and passing game coordinator. They talk about it every single day. Coach Harris comes to practice every single day and says, hey, we got to get 4 takeaways in practice today. We got to get 5 takeaways in practice today. And they preach it. I was talking to safety Kevin Byer today in the locker room, and, you know, he's got 5 takeaways now. He was like, Herb, I should have 8. He said, if you think about it, Nashawn Wright took one away from me. He said, I dropped one, and then one of my interceptions got called back, and he's right. Nashawn Wright, I mean, Nashawn was just going for the ball like he should, but he ended up taking it right out of KB's hands a couple weeks ago. They had one called back a little bit earlier in the season, and then Kevin Byard dropped one that hit him in the hands. And so I think what they're doing in terms of these takeaways, that is legitimate. I think they are going to be able to sustain that, even though they're about to start playing better quarterbacks right now. So I think, you know, you got to consider that part of it, but I think it's the mentality, and they just keep coming in bunches for this team. And I think they certainly need that, but it's going to come down to the offense being able to take advantage of those opportunities. And that's what concerns me, their ability to take advantage of the opportunities, not just late in the games and come back and win games or let teams get back in the game and then still pull it out. It's got to be a situation where they're taking advantage of these opportunities early. You're getting extra possessions from the defense, and you've got shots to be able to take. They had 2 shots in the Vikings game, once down the sideline to Rome, and then once, you know, on a corner route to DJ, and they just weren't able to hook up on those things. Those are huge plays, and you got to be able to hit those so that, you know, you're not sitting there with a 16-3 lead against J.J. McCarthy while he looks absolutely terrible, but it only takes him, you know, one drive to put together and then steal the lead from you. You should be up 26-3 in that game because the opportunities were there. So that's what really concerns me, is the offense's ability to take advantage of the opportunities they have. When they get short fields, when they get in the red zone, that has to be 7, not 3, and not punts.
Man, the Caleb deep ball stuff is fascinating. We played Ben from Monday talking about how he's not worried about the deep ball accuracy, and then he said he doesn't like 50-50 balls. He doesn't believe in them. He'd rather, rather scheme it open. And then Caleb today echoed that, and he said he's never liked 50-50 balls. And I don't know whether that's Caleb talking from his own history or just kind of spouting some Ben right there, but we had a kind of a big conversation about it because sometimes in the NFL, a 55-45 ball or a 60-40 ball, that's open in the NFL, and I hope Caleb knows that and sees that. What are your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, and they've also invested heavily in putting weapons around him. So if I've got two tight ends, 6'5", and I've got Romo Odunze who can go up and get those 50-50 balls, why not give them the opportunities to come down with them? Why not utilize these skill position players that you have? You invested heavily in all of these guys, and they're capable of doing that. So sometimes go ahead and take advantage of that. And, you know, the window might not be huge, but put it in there anyway, or put it up in the air so they have an opportunity to go get it. And that's how you see a lot of these receivers in the 50-50 balls. They're really 70-30, 80-20 balls. And then you add in the potential for pass interference and those types of situations, go ahead and give them a shot. I get what coach is saying. He wants to scheme them up so that they're open by half a yard or a yard or so. Ooh, that's wonderful. But every play isn't going to be like that. And when it's not, you still got to be willing to take shots, especially with the weapons that he has.
When Ben Johnson came in, and Spiegs and I did like a deep dive on what he was doing offensively, I was wondering if he was going to be able to get the amount of attempts he would need in a run game to do play action better. And he's done that. Like, they've had an excellent run game so far this season. How much did he preach this? And did you expect that they would be able to run the ball with the effectiveness of, one, getting yards, but two, then putting Caleb in a position for him to hit some play action throws?
And that running game has worked out, I think, better than anybody imagined, right? Everybody who came in, and most people were down on DeAndre Swift. I personally wasn't down on DeAndre Swift because I understood that he played behind the same offensive line that Caleb played behind last year. I just liked Dre's skill set. But, you know, the idea of they got to get another running back and they end up just getting Kyle Manunga in the seventh round, and for the most part, it didn't seem like that would be enough. And early, they struggled to get the running game going. Brand new interior, brand new offensive line, almost in totality on the interior. But you've seen them come together, and now talk about the Bears being number two in the league in rushing. They've gotten that running game going better than anybody could imagine. And you talk about a coach who wants to establish the run game so that he can set up that play action. I think it still isn't quite where he wants it to be, because he talked about, you know, wanted to establish the run from right out the jump, right out the gate. He was like, I want to establish the run. But then he also talked about wanting to have a 70% completion percentage. And that's not where they are right now. And the idea is, if we can establish the run and set up this play action, that should help us get some easy throws. That's a way to scheme guys open. That's where we should be able to find these two tight ends running wide open in the middle of the field. They weren't able to get either of the tight ends involved for much of early in the season. Now they're both starting to get some targets. We saw Cole Kmet get as many targets as he's had all season and, you know, make some catches and get some run after catch. Posting Loveland is coming along, so I think you're starting to see it. But I just think that, you know, the reality is things take time. And we're talking about them being together for, you know, 10 games now. And it just takes a little bit more time than that for everything to be clicking on all cylinders. We wanted that same production and same offense that we saw from Ben when he was in Detroit. But that took years to build. But the Bears are still top five offense in scoring. They're still in yards. They're still number two in rushing. So it is coming together, but you still want it to just look a little bit more sharp, a little bit more crisp.
Herb Howard kills it at Bears press conferences and has for a long time, and, you know, is the beat reporter for It's the Bigs. How long you been doing it up there, Herb, at this point?
This is my fifth season. This is my fifth season.
All right, so you had Justin and you had Caleb. You got a sense for Caleb as a dude? I think we ended up with a sense for Justin as a dude, and even now when I see him, like, do you have a sense for who Caleb Williams is like as a person?
Getting a much better sense of who he is as a person this year than last year. Last year, he was, you know, rookie and just kind of a little bit quiet and kind of stayed to himself. But just observing him in the locker room now, just having side conversations with him in the locker room now, he seems much more comfortable in his position, much more available to talk to you and just have conversations with you about life or about whatever. And I think he's just a lot more of himself now. You see him joking around with his teammates. You see him, you know, they got a basketball hoop in the locker room. They're shooting around, and he's talking crap as much as everybody else is talking crap. So I've certainly got a better feel for him, you know, this season. I wasn't trying to force that issue I'm never trying to force the issue with anybody. So I certainly wasn't trying to do that with him last year in terms of forcing him to find out, okay, who are you as a person outside of this number one pick and, you know, generational talent? Who is Caleb? But I think this year, certainly you've been able to just get a better feel for the type of person he is. I think he's an extremely hard worker on the football field, but off the field, I think he's just a regular guy that wants to have fun, wants to hang out. He's smart. He's funny. And I found him very, very entertaining and just cool to talk to. He's just been a cool dude to talk to. The way like DJ Moore is, or the way, you know, Kyler Gordon is, you just talk to these guys, Jalen Johnson. The way I've been able to build rapport with them, I'm starting to have that type of situation with Caleb. And he's just a cool dude to talk to.
That's cool to hear, because, like, I firmly believe that when you are more comfortable with yourself, whoever you are, whatever you got, then you have a better chance to be really good at your job, you know? And last year I got the sense that Caleb had a lot on his mind and was trying to figure it out and portray whatever you got to portray. It's right. Good. The more authentic he is, the easier it would get, don't you think?
100%. I think he just feels more comfortable in his skin and able to just be himself and settle into the fact that I am the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, and it is a large market, and everything I do is going to be highly scrutinized and examined. But, you know, I can still find time to just be myself. And I think, you know, I think he had his guard up a little bit, you know, about what he wanted to talk about and who he wanted to talk to. And, you know, over time, people just come to understand you a little bit better. The way I go about my business up at Hallis is a little bit unorthodox or a little bit different. I don't tend to be in the big media scrums where everybody's around. I can talk to guys one-on-one and just have conversations with them. It's not even always about football. It's not even always on the record. I just want to figure out, you know, who these guys are, and then that'll give you some insight to some of the things that happen within the game, and it'll give you a little bit of a better connection when you want to know certain things about what's happening, you know, on the field. I had a pretty good conversation with Tremaine Edmonds in the locker room about something that I really want to ask DA about tomorrow, so I won't put it out today. But Tremaine Edmonds was somebody that came in that locker room very guarded, very, very closed off, very shielded. And, you know, just over time, they get to understand how you go about your business of covering them and whether or not you're looking for headlines or looking for this. And the more comfortable they get, the more you're able to get from them.
The Biggs has a pretty big social media following. You post mm-hmm. stuff, you post your reports, people get into the comments. I'm curious, how have Bears fans reacted to this season that you've seen through your own social media and through what the Biggs itself is putting out there?
Yeah, no, they don't rock with me right now, Lawrence. They don't like what I'm putting down for the most part. I tweeted after the Giants game some analogy about, you know, not being able, you don't get a ton of credit for, you know, starting the fire then coming back with the water hose to put it out. And I felt like that's what the Bears did against the Giants. And, you know, people only want to talk about the late game heroics, and they're like, you just don't like Caleb because you are a Justin guy and you wanted the haul and you hate Caleb. I'm like, I didn't say nothing about Caleb. I don't have to say that man's name and people just jump down my throat and get upset about it and they go crazy. So I understand. We don't do the same things. I love Bears fans. I've been a Bears fan way, way longer than I've been a Bears reporter. But as a fan and as a reporter, we don't do the same thing, right? You're just trying to enjoy your Sunday and hope your favorite team, your favorite player wins the game. And I get that. But what I have to do is analyze a full football team. So I have to say, okay, it's wonderful that they won that game. It's wonderful that they're 7-3 in first place. But also, you talk about them, you know, oh, they've been so great in one-score games. Well, the Bengals game, you were up 2 touchdowns. That didn't have to be a one-score game. The Vikings game, you were up 2 touchdowns. That didn't have to be a one-score game. And the Giants are the Giants. That didn't have to be a one-score game. The Raiders game, you blocked the field. That's wonderful. Josh Blackwell is one of my favorite players on that team. I love that dude. He blocked the field goal to beat the Raiders, so y'all won by 1 point. Like, it doesn't have to come down to that, especially when you talk about being a really good team, a playoff contender, that wants to make a run. I mean, we assume that this is the beginning of something that's going to be this long run of sustained success. We assumed that too in 2018, right? We assumed that was going to go on forever. And I remember the big 2019 kickoff, and it was like, oh, the Bears are Super Bowl contenders because they were so great last year. The fact of the matter is, while you have the opportunity to get into the tournament, be the best that you can and maybe take advantage of it because you don't know that it's coming back.
Herb, ask Washington all about that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Herb, I'm going to forever picture you in a tuxedo. I'm imagining you in a tuxedo right now, sitting in your car, wherever you are, just like ready to rock. Are you?
It is very, very rare, Steve. I'm either in a suit or I'm in pajamas, man. I wear sweatpants and hoodies all the time. If I'm not in a suit, I got on sweatpants and a hoodie. That's it.
All right.
No in between with me.
No in between game for Herb Howard. Sartorially
he's the man.
Speaking.
That's the wolf right there. You got the wolf up there covering the Bears. It's pretty great. Herb, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That's Herb Howard. Yeah, I mean, I love that stuff about. We'll listen tomorrow when he's going to talk to Dennis Allen to see what he passes on that he got from Tremaine Edmonds, because Tremaine Edmonds it's another dude like. Pressure on Tremaine Edmonds to show up as your big money middle backer and be that stud. And now he's playing so much better. He's playing so much freer. You can feel it. And he's more comfortable to be himself, too. It makes all the sense in the world.
I mentioned yesterday that I keep seeing videos from this one place on the South Side that there's like all this Bears joy when the Bears come back and win. And I forgot the name of it. And I remembered it. I wanted to give them a shout out. The Family Den. Over on 89th and Stony, what they put out there, like it is, Speaks, we need to go, like for real. Like we need to just pop in one Sunday watching the Bears game because people are just like having a great time hanging out, kicking it and watching the Bears. Every time I see their stuff on social, I'm like, man, this looks like fun. Like this looks like everyone is just in a great mood. And everyone's just chilling. So shout out to the Family Den and the Bears party that they put together every Sunday for people. Just folks happy. And that makes me happy.
That's outstanding. We should try to get pregame and postgame there. So we can hang.
If we roll in there with Olin, man.
People go crazy.
We're gonna have a good time. We're gonna have a real good time over there on 89th and Stony. We need to take a break. Yesterday, we had an incredible X's and O's conversation with Matt Bowen. He's one of the best to do it in the country. But we also tapped into one of the other facets of his personality, which is him being a high school football coach. And it led to some, I think, beautiful outpouring of affection and nostalgia from the Score listener, from you. Talking about this from your perspective, we want to pay that off and service that and talk a little bit about it from our perspective and hopefully from your perspective too. That's next here on the
Listen Up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Matt Bowen.
Tom Brady cloned his dog. Do you think it's possible he's going to clone himself? Your thoughts?
I don't even know what to say, Steve. I'm telling you what, I've been doing the Score for what? 16 years. That's the question I was the least prepared for in my life.
Afternoons on the Score.
It's always fun when we get the opportunity to talk with Matt Bowen. He's really tremendous, and we love breaking down football with him. And he's got a dual role. He does all of this stuff for us, but he also is an assistant coach at IC Catholic. And IC Catholic played Byron, and Byron has been a 3A powerhouse for a long time. And IC Catholic got beat. Byron played really great. And we talked with Matt about that. And then it turned into something else. And I think it turned into something beautiful, Speaks.
Yeah, I think it did, Lawrence. And that dual role that you mentioned, I think, is key to it. Because it's one thing to talk about the teams like the Bears who are trying to win a title. And it's another to talk about a high school team that is having a formative experience as they are trying to win a title. So that was the jumping off point with Matt as we asked him about Nashawn Wright and his tribute to his coach, Coach Beam, his fallen coach, after he had the incredible interception on Sunday. And here's Matt's response about what coaches go through and the relationships that they get to build with players.
Yeah, that's the power of coaching or the power of teaching. How many of us have had a favorite teacher in high school or at the college level and, you know, are so drawn to them because you want to impress them all the time. And you learn so much and you feel so comfortable and you have that relationship with your teacher or with your coach. That is a very powerful thing, a very powerful thing. I have many of them from the coaches I had, and especially from the teachers I had at Glenbard West and the University of Iowa, and my graduate program at DePaul that I owe a lot to. Because they are true mentors. And it's a lot of times it's stuff that you need in your life. And I understand why Nashawn was very emotional. I really understand why he was. And again, I go back to the power of coaching. It is a very special thing.
Yeah, it's hard. Like in those moments, you could see why he would be like that. And it was beautiful, his tribute to his coach after the game and obviously during the game. But I know for a lot of coaches, like that's really the goal, and you hate that he gets it has to be like posthumous, but clearly Nashawn had a relationship with this guy that was going even last year. Like he brought him to the city, right. And to see that level of love for someone who helped him out in a really rough time was a beautiful thing.
No, it really is. It really is. And I go back to what I just said. You can see why the emotions are there. Because whenever you lose someone in your life, especially someone who has mentored you in times of adversity, it's hard to replace. The end of the season as a coach is always, when you're in tournament play, is always so sudden. It is incredibly sudden. It just, it comes to an end so quickly, and it feels like you just started. And I give all the credit to Byron and their football players. They had an outstanding game plan. I need to do better as a coach. I'll tell you that right now. It's on us as coaches, especially on me as a coach. I need to get better. But I love coaching this football team. It's one of my favorites to coach. It really was. And it's always so sudden and so emotional when it's over. Because every team is different. Every team I've coached for 12 years has its own character, its own personality. It's really its own identity. And you only have that for a short period of time. And someone told me a long time ago, well, there'll always be boys to coach. And I responded with, well, yeah, but not these boys, right? Because it always changes. So you try to, and I'll say this, I know I'm up against time, guys.
You're good.
I'll say this. You know, when I got into coaching, I said I had to win, right? Okay, I had a major issue with it because if the player didn't win a title at any level, and it really, really bothered me. And I said, I had to win. I have to win doing this. It was my number one goal. And it quickly changed when I found out what coaching was really about. So I've been a part of 4 state title teams. But I'll tell you, having a goal of just winning a state title to me is very hollow. Because what you're actually doing as a coach in state playoffs is you're buying time. And every time you win a football game, you get to buy another 7 days. Mm. And those 7 days can be priceless, especially if you're a senior. And it is true. I'll get to coach another group of kids next year. But those senior boys don't get to put their uniform on, don't get to put that helmet on anymore. And look, the rest of their life is ahead of them. They're going to grow up. This is a small part of it, but at the moment, it is the biggest part of their life, and that's how they view it. So I love coaching this team. I'm excited about the offseason and next year. Now it's time to drive Ryan to practice.
Man, time to drive his son to practice. That was beautiful yesterday, Lawrence, and the reaction was heavy. Bunch of textures, you know, saying, well, I didn't think I was going to cry on the way home. Thanks, Matt Bowen. You know, it's like, and I know you saw a lot on social media, and it got you thinking about personal experiences for you as well, I know.
Yeah, there was a lot, and I really enjoyed people sharing about that, because the suddenness, that part, man, that it is over. And for those that aren't moving on, like the reality of, I did wear my shoulder pads and my helmet for the last time. Like, I'm not going to ever play football again. Like, those moments are stunning. Now, a lot of kids will go on to do other things. Like, maybe they're in wrestling or track, or they're playing basketball or baseball or something like that, and there's something else to focus on. But if you've been playing football since you were 5, let's say, and then at 17, it's just over. Like, that's a lot. And I kept thinking about the score listener that's in their car, the mom and dad that have to deal with that. The mom and dad that this has been part of the identity of the family, that you become, you know, a dyed in the wool, you know, football family, and then it ends. And what is that like for the student? What's that like for the parents? And letting go of it. And, you know, I have my own stuff too with this, where I was a little bit more mature when baseball ended for me. And I thought about it like this morning before we had kind of decided that we were going to talk about it. When I played baseball, I was in and out of being sick because I had Crohn's. So it messed up a bunch of seasons for me in high school. And I finally got healthy enough in college to get in front of pro scouts, which was the goal that I had always wanted, was to see if I could be it. And then I found out that I wasn't good enough, and it was okay. But it was still like the end of it. Like, my baseball career died. I think it was St. Xavier, where they had this regional scouting situation, and I went and I was participating, and I did okay. And I was able to put it away and be like, okay, I went as far as my talent will allow for me to go. And then I never played baseball again, like, ever. Like, I have not played hardball in 28 years, but it becomes so much of like who you are. I understood exactly where he was on that, and where those kids are, where it's over. And the unpacking of that emotionally is really difficult, and it's where kids will lean on their parents and their mentors and their coaches. And he's right, it's a small part of your life, but usually people have great experiences to draw on to push them to whatever that next thing is in their life.
Yeah, it's you know, it's beautiful to think about. It's like, you don't just play for the title, because you're playing for the connections and you're playing for the experience. And it's too hard to see when you're the player sometimes. It's too hard to see. And that's the communication that the coach has to do. And it's an opportunity the coach gets to do. The coach gets to bring that perspective and say, hey, man, this is great. And ideally, the coach is in a place in his life where he's able to say, but that was fun too, wasn't it? Wasn't it good? Yeah, you're going to remember this. Hold on to that.
Well, Speaks, think about it. When we talk to Olin or Matt or Alex or Lance or Matt Forte, when we ask them about the game, they aren't talking to you about, hey, that time that I won a state title, or that time that we won the NFC.
Right.
They're like, I miss being around the guys every day. Like, that sense of community that is built with inside of a team construct.
Yeah.
It's really hard to duplicate.
Yeah, and to appreciate it on the front end is a great gift. Like, you know, man, watching my son have mixed results as a goalkeeper, right? Mm. In soccer at age 12 and 13. But seeing him enjoy his time with his teammates and them all supporting each other. And then, like, I talked to him on the way home one time, and I'm like, hey, yeah, now a few goals got in. How you doing? He's like, I'm okay. I'm all right. Like, the only guy who's really worried about him being great and everything, you know, everything being a win is me. I wasn't worried about that. I was like, oh, thank you for that little bit of perspective. Like, and so wherever it can come from, sometimes it comes from the player, but more often than not, it comes from the coach. I hope you had coaches along the way that helped support you and help you realize what the value was you were getting, regardless of a success level, you know?
Yeah. That was the dope part too. Hearing Matt talk about it being for him initially.
Yes. Yes. Because he was all thinking about, I never won a title at any level. No. And then he was able to realize, okay, that's what a wonderful challenge to selfishness. You know, what a great challenge.
And then you go, I have this gift.
Yep.
And I'm given this gift every season, and it hurts. It hurts like so much to be in that moment. I was part of a coaching staff over on the southeast side at Washington High School for the late, great Phil Courage. And we had gone 8-0 and won our conference, and then we lost in the first round of the playoffs. Like, it was, we were stunned, and the kids' hearts were broken at that point. And being a coach or a mentor, having to be in a place where you help put that back together, but also allow it to hurt, because that's part of it. One of the things that Matt will text me when talking about, you know, IC, and he said it to me because I was at their playoff game last year and they lost. He said, you know, that's football. And he's right. Like, that's football. And the exploration of that needs to be more present. And I love that he brought that to the public.
Yep.
And that he brought it out of you and me and everyone that saw that video or is listening to us right now. Every one of us has a moment like that. And it doesn't matter if it was at 10 years old or 18 or 22 or 30. All of us have a moment like that. And to live in that moment because Matt was so open sharing, I thought was terrific.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed fully. Sometimes your moment comes in your 60s. Maybe for the Pope, his moment will be when he gets to throw out a first pitch at a White Sox game. That invitation was put out today. And there was also some news that got broken in the Vatican. Let's discuss that next before we get out of here. Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Going homes.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
Afternoons on The Score.
Welcome. It's very nice to meet you. Thank you for welcoming me.
You're very welcome.
And we bring good tidings from Chicago.
Thank you very much.
Now we would like to give a warm welcome to our governor, J.B. Brisker.
That's the governor and the Pope today at the Vatican.
The governor was off today.
The governor was off. He was in Vatican City with the Pope. Hey, tonight the Bulls wrap up their road trip against the Blazers. Pregame coverage begins at 8:45. Tip off at 9 on The Score and the Fitzgerald Equipment Bulls Radio Network powered by Heli Forklifts. I'm sorry, Lawrence. I took that. You love that pause. I'm so sorry.
I think on The Score and the Fitzgerald Equipment Bulls Radio Network, powered by Heli Forklifts. And head out to Captain Jack's Beverages in Oak Forest tomorrow from 5:30 until 7. you can meet Layla Rahimi and register for your chance to win a pair of passes to attend Football After Dark with Nashawn Wright at Moretti's in Bedford Park on December 2nd. It's all brought to you by the fine folks over at Remy Martin VSOP. This is my city.
Eventual White Sox owner Justin Ishbia was at the Vatican as well, and he presented Pope Leo with a 2005 championship White Sox jersey that he said was a symbol of teamwork and perseverance, signed by the entire team. And according to John Greenberg over at The Athletic, this is the first Sox jersey that has been presented to the Pope. Because Paul Konerko, they did a little trade, but Pope didn't have this one. So as Ishbia was told that he and his wife could pose with the Pope with a jersey, but he couldn't actually hand it to him. He was going to put it away in a box. And Ishbia says when he started to do that, the Pope said, "No, no, no, hold on. That stays with me." And the Pope took the jersey.
I love it.
And so supposedly to go in the Hall of Fame room at the Vatican, which is where Sox Fest should be. But
the sports bar behind the Vatican.
How is there not a sports bar at the Vatican with all this incredible stuff that has been presented to him? He's got a Bulls jersey that Chuck gave him last week. He's got this.
Is turning into Pope Leo's collection, like Jim Irsay.
It's surreal that the Pope is this big of a meatball.
It's a meatball.
And I love it.
He wouldn't let the owner, the eventual owner, put it away in a box. Yeah. But man, so the headline that came out of this today, though, was that Justin Ishbia says that when he eventually builds a stadium, he wants the Pope to throw out the first pitch. And Justin talked a lot about how Jerry is the current steward of the White Sox. He doesn't like owner. He likes steward. And he said, eventually, I will be the steward of this community asset, and we're going to get a stadium built. He doesn't know when. It could be in 4 years. It could be in 5 years. It could be in 30 years. He says, I'm 48, right? And the White Sox lease is up. I can't tell you exactly when, but in my lifetime, we're definitely building a new stadium. And yes, it will be in Chicago. I love Chicago. Put it this way. If I wanted to have a team that was not in my hometown, I probably should have bought the Twins, right? If I wanted to commute, I just could have commuted to Minnesota. So there's some news in these comments to John Greenberg and to Danny Ecker over at Sports Business Journals from Justin Ishbia today.
It's all well and good, but it's very possible he won't have control of the White Sox for another 9 years.
But he's going to build a stadium at some point.
Also, Lawrence, what do you think the Pope thinks about the new stadium? Like, there's nothing wrong with the old one, my son.
What if he said that, man?
Like, what he's thinking. Like, got to find memories at that park, you know?
Oh, yeah, it's true. He was there.
What if he was like, you shouldn't leave Bridgeport, my son?
Oh, wow.
Bridgeport is a beautiful neighborhood, my son.
I would love it if the Pope just started leaning in on the White Sox, man. Like, that's not the right move. You should have picked up this player.
Man. Yeah, seriously. Well, they've established...
Are you going to be in the Ohtani business, my son?
That's a wrap.
Oh, man. Ishbia says, I asked him to pray for our city. I asked him to hopefully, through peace and strength, bring our city together. And that I think a ball club, a baseball franchise, has the opportunity to do that in the city. They are now going to bond. If the Pope has baseball thoughts, I bet he's got the owner's phone number now. And text him from the Hall of Fame room, which is underneath the sports bar.
And he can get it whenever he wants. Yeah. By the way, Sox Fest is going back to the Remova.
Yeah, it is, which was a great success.
And I love that.
Yeah, I know you do. Remova's a great place. It's right there in Bridgeport, and that's an awesome fit. They're going to do it again.
I think it's a smart move by them to continue to kind of make it a little bit more grassroots than what it's been. You can dip in and out, and it's probably easier for people to get to and get out of than having it downtown. But man, the Pope is a White Sox meatball, and it is grand. It is absolutely grand. What a show. We appreciate you hanging out with us. That's a good time that was had by us, and hopefully it was had by you. Thank you so much for the love and support you show us every single day. We will do our best to repay the favor tomorrow between 2 and 6 on your favorite show. Spiegel and Holmes. See you tomorrow with Wani.
Whatever. It's always, boy, how can I put it? Always annoying to hear from you guys. But, you know, if this makes your day a little bit better, then, you know, I guess that's good for you. I don't know who else it's good for. I doubt it. I know it's not good for me. I doubt it's good for anybody listening. But it's good for you guys. And so, great. I guess you'll just keep doing it whenever you feel like it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.